Liz now carrying on with sport. Now, last night, that was the 1st of April, April Fool's Day. Vale hadn't won at home on a midweek match since 2022. And as John said, they had a disastrous loss to Bradford last Wednesday or Tuesday. So this Tuesday, that's the 1st, April Fool's Day, Vale End home hoodoo to boost promotion quest. This is so exciting now if you're a Vale supporter. Port Vale edged closer to automatic promotion and kept their League Two title bid on track with a tremendous 2-0 win against Bradford, because Bradford is second at the moment behind Walsall. The third versus second clash was a pivotal one in League Two on the same night that fourth place Doncaster Rovers drew 2-2 with leaders Walsall. So that was brilliant for us that Walsall were held to a draw. Suddenly. With Wimbledon losing two, Vale were the only team in the top five to win on a potentially season-defining night, as they delighted the home fans with one of their best performances of the season. Significantly, it was the first time Vale had won a home league game on a Tuesday night for more than 3 years. I think that was April 2022. It came thanks in no small part to a sparkling first half display in which they ripped the visitors apart and scored two eye-catching goals from Laurent Tolger and Mitch Clark before defending resolutely in a much more even second half. Automatic promotion, if not the top spot, is there for the taking if they can produce this type of display in their final six games. Moore made just one change to the Vale starting lineup, and that was enforced as he brought in Jack Shorrock in place of the injured Tom Sang, who dislocated his shoulder against Crewe. Rakeem Harper, an unused sub against the Alex, was out of the squad altogether as Ethan Chislett returned, while Sam Hart was back in too. George Byers remained absent, as did Kyle John. The sprinkler system had been used to good effect in the minutes before kickoff, making it an excellent surface for passing football. Bradford's early intent was to do just that, and the visitors looked a cut above the teams Vale have come up against of late in the opening few minutes. Vale couldn't get into any sort of early rhythm, and they resorted to hitting the ball long to relieve pressure in those early exchanges, but that all changed in the 11th minute. Out of nothing, Vale were in front thanks to a stunning goal, and they dominated the half from that point. The veil were lifted as the crowd roared their approval. In the 32nd minute, Ramp and Vale were 2-0 up. It was no more than Moore's side deserved after producing the goods on a magnificent night, as the fans chanted, "We never win on a Tuesday. They do now." The attendance was 8,659, so that was a cracking gate as well. Well done, Vale. And now I'll just briefly go through what's happening. Port Vale now on Saturday at 12:30 kickoff, they're playing Walsall. Walsall are on 72 points, and Walsall, they haven't won now for about 8 games. They keep drawing. Vale are on 70, so it's a crucial match. Vale are only third behind Bradford on goal difference. Doncaster, who are on 67 points, they need Cheltenham to beat them on Saturday. And Doncaster and Walsall drew last night, so Doncaster Rovers did a slight favour. Yeah, I suppose that was the best result for Vale, that was a draw. Crewe are now eighth. They have got Bradford on Saturday, so we need Crewe to pick things up. We need them to beat Bradford on Saturday. And on the 10th, it's a funny time, on the 10th of April, which is actually a Thursday, they're playing Cheltenham, and that's at 8 o'clock. So we've got to say, come on, Crewe, because you're currently eighth. If they could beat Bradford, they might get into the playoffs. I'm not sure. I haven't looked at that closely. But we absolutely need them to smash Bradford anyway for Vale. and we need Vale to smash Walsall. And now I better mention Stoke. Stoke are playing Preston North End on Saturday the 5th at 3 p.m. Preston North End are probably very sad because beaten by Villa. Sorry, I go on about Villa a bit, but I can't believe Villa at the moment. So Stoke have got Preston at 3 o'clock on Saturday. They're away. And then they've got Luton at home on Tuesday the 8th at 7:45. And then Cardiff away on the 12th. They're currently on 42 points. They're 4 points above safety. So, well, they're not out of the woods yet. But they're looking good. They're looking better. So hopefully, come on, Stoke. Don't go down. We don't want them playing Vale. Although we want Vale up, we don't want Stoke down. And now I've got a little football article to read. Well, it's not really football. Very sorry. And you can all switch off now, either literally or emotionally, because it does involve a person from Stoke, but it also involves Villa. This is about a hairdresser. And he was called to go down to cut the team's hair before Villa played Bruges. I was at that match, but I didn't notice their hairdos. And unfortunately, I haven't got any tickets for PSG, which we're playing on the Tuesday. Is that the 12th of April? I've lost the plot now. Anyway, and I'm very upset that I can't get tickets, but I'll have to watch it on telly. But we've got this man from Stoke, and he's obviously lucky for Villa. So I'm hoping he trots off down to Villa Park and cuts their hair again. There's a photograph of him with Konsa, and Konsa had a cracking game. He's a hairdresser. He's called Christophe Giorgio, and his salon is in Mere Heath. Why Christos trims are just champion. Barber buzzing after giving Villa stars a cut for club's biggest game in 40 years. He's shown off his skills in League Two and the Championship. Now Christophe Giorgio is cutting it in the Champions League. It was the Mere Heath barber's scissor work that helped Aston Villa's multi-million pound stars look sharp as they cut Belgian side Club Brugge down to size with a 3-0 win. The 29-year-old was awestruck when the invitation to cut the player's hair came totally out of the blue. He said, "I've already cut a few of the Stoke City players' hair and a few from Port Vale. I guess you could say I was kind of stuck at the Championship and League One kind of level. So to all of a sudden be working with Premier League and Champions League players is quite a big jump. I definitely felt the pressure a little bit. This was probably their biggest game in the last 40 years. So I said to the players, I hope it's a lucky trim for tonight. There was no mirror in the room, so they couldn't see their hair, and I had to just go off how they told me how they liked it. But they were all really happy with their haircuts." Christophe, who opened his salon, Barbershop, in December, says the invitation, just 2 days before the March the 12th game, came after Villa's operations manager saw his business profile on Instagram. He said, "I was fully booked that Wednesday, but I couldn't turn that opportunity down. I moved some of my afternoon clients to Tuesday night. Then I saw the rest on Wednesday morning and finished at 11 a.m. After that, I got on the train down to Birmingham and made a quick 5-minute walk over to the team hotel. I got guided upstairs by the team's first head of security, who directed me to a conference room on the second floor where they were based. I set up all my stuff, and the next thing I knew, I could hear all this rap music getting louder and louder." Christos says meeting the players was a totally surreal experience. He added, "Being in there before such a big game was such a weird feeling. Obviously, there was World Cup winner Emilio Martinez there and other big names like Marco Asensio. Soon the likes of Marcus Rashford, Amadou Onana, Youri Tielemans, Morgan Rogers and all these world-class players just walked in. There was a massage room next to where I was cutting hair, so they'd get treated in there and then come in to see me. It was great being able to talk to the players on just a normal level. You see them on TV and stuff, but you've got no idea what they're like. But they were all just nice lads. It was nice seeing how everything worked behind the scenes too, witnessing the build-up to a big game like that. Although Christos was nervous about getting the football stars camera ready, he says he thoroughly enjoyed the experience. He said, "I support Stoke City, but I'm a boyhood Villa fan through my dad, so it was really surreal to be invited down. It meant the world to me. I'm just a local lad from Mere Heath." Christos says that after finishing cutting the player's hair, the operations manager brought him a coffee. "I was just sort of chilling and mingling," he said. "I felt as though they were there for their pre-match meal and got to go to the game afterwards. They've said they want me to go back too, so I'm buzzing." Now, Christos, I'm buzzing. And if you're lucky for Villa, well, you obviously are, I want you to do their hair before every match. So that's my sport. And Vale fans are buzzing too. And Stoke fans are just hanging in there and crew are hopeful. Sorry, as usual, I haven't got any non-football sport. It's cricket season soon. Tim's glaring at me. He wants me to say goodbye. Goodbye.